I want to ask for your prayers. I want to call your attention to some scripture that is found in the book of Titus, just a short epistle that the Apostle Paul wrote to a man named Titus. This little epistle is only three chapters long, and I want to read some scripture beginning in the second chapter with the 11th verse and read into the third chapter as well. So if you want to read along, turn to Titus chapter 2, and we'll begin reading with verse 11. Paul writing said, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that, denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee." Now into chapter 3. "Put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work, to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. For we ourselves were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But after that the kindness and love of God our Savior toward all man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by his grace we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life." And that is reading today, beginning with Titus chapter 2, verse 11, and reading on through the 7th verse in the 3rd chapter. And there are two things that are mentioned in here, two of the attributes of God that are mentioned in these verses that I have read before you this morning. And I want to put forth this thought today for a title, and that is that God is merciful now. God is merciful now. And in these verses that I read, there are two things that are mentioned about God, and that is the grace of God and the mercy of God. Now, you know, God is gracious, and God is merciful, and the scriptures tell us this over and over and over, that there is a God that sits above us in heaven, and he is gracious, and he is merciful. And that is a wonderful blessing for the human family, because if that were not true, then we would have no hope, would we? But, you know, we could say, well, why is God gracious? Why is God merciful? Is that the way that he was made? And, you know, the scriptures tell us this, and this is a thought that just, pardon the expression, just blows my mind. But in the 90th Psalm, I believe in the 2nd verse, it says, "Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hadst formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God." God has always been, and he will always be. There's nobody that created him. There's no body that made God. He is the creator of all things. and he exists. God just exists. I mean, we exist in him. In him we live and move and have our being. We exist because God created us, but he just exists. God has always existed. He does not have a point of origin. He has just always been. Now, the human mind cannot comprehend that. But that's true. That's what the scriptures say about him. So we have to, and I believe that we know from this, we have to safely say then that the attributes that God has is that attributes that he has chosen. God is gracious and God is merciful because that's what he has chosen to be. And thank God that he is that way. And so I want us to think about these two things. Now, we hear a lot. I'm sure that in listening to sermons in missionary Baptist churches that you have heard many times the term grace being defined as the unmerited favor of God towards us. Now, I don't think that we hear a definition of mercy as often, but when you research the word mercy, you find that it is described by words like compassion, kindness, love, and in fact, I believe a good way to describe or define mercy is that it is the loving kindness of God towards us. And when I think of this, and I think of these terms, and grace and mercy are mentioned together throughout the scriptures many, many times. The same verse many times talks about grace, and it talks about mercy, or at least in the same passage. And so grace, when I think about that, I think of grace being what we have that we just don't deserve. It's just an undeserved favor. Grace is the unmerited favor of God. And when I think about mercy, I think about us not receiving what we do deserve. And you know, if you were in a court of law and someone had been sentenced, you know, someone had been found guilty of a crime and they were about to receive sentence, and the judge, before passing sentence, if he said, well, you know, for the crime that you have committed, I'm going to, you know, I could give you life in prison for the crime that you're guilty of, but I'm going to reduce that sentence and I'm going to give you 10 years or 15 years. He has been merciful to that person and did not give them what they really deserved, what they really could have been given. And so God has been merciful to us because truly we all deserve to be lost. We all deserve to be eternally damned. But God has been merciful. And the Apostle Paul here in the fifth verse, he said that in the fourth verse, he said, after the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy. Now, the Bible tells us that we are saved by grace through faith. That's mentioned in the second chapter of the Ephesian letter. The Apostle Paul said here that our salvation was according to his mercy, according to God's mercy, not by anything that we have done or ever could have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. And he did it by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. Now, I want to say this, if you're here today, and you're lost and in sin, you've not been saved by grace, by the grace of God today, you better be thankful that there's a God in heaven, that God is sitting on his throne, and he's merciful to all that will come to him. God is willing to extend his mercy to everybody that will come to him. And we find that oftentimes throughout the scriptures, we find that spoken of in the prayers of a sinner. When a person comes to realize their need of salvation, what do they typically do? They begin to search after God for his mercy. They realize their need for his mercy. And listen, what you today, you know, and you don't need to get caught up in your mind in anything else. You don't need to be trying to figure salvation out in your mind. You don't need to be trying to figure out some formula or something to be saved. What you need to do as a sinner is you just need to beseech God for his mercy. For his mercy. And that's what we find recorded in a parable that Jesus spoke that we read about in the 18th chapter of the gospel according to Luke, where he spoke about two men going up into the temple to pray. And Jesus used in this parable, he used a man that they were known to be very self-righteous, and that was a Pharisee, and he used a publican who were known to be people who were looked at as sinners and who were very much looked down upon by those around them. And so Jesus spoke this parable about these two men going up to the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. Well, he talked about how that the Pharisee began to offer up his self-righteous prayer before God. He said, I thank you, God, that I'm not like other men. I thank you that I'm not an extortioner, that I'm not unjust. He talked about all that he did himself, how that he would fast and give his tithes and all these works that he would do himself. But the Bible tells us that that the publican would not so much as lift up his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast and said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And listen, as I said a moment ago, that's exactly what you need. You need the mercy of God. You can be saved today according to his mercy and by his grace and through faith. You can come to know the Lord in a pardon and forgiveness of sin and have everything fixed up today between you and God. And that's what you need, just like that publican. You know, we see that he didn't offer his pride to the Lord. He didn't speak proudly before God the way the Pharisee did. He didn't talk about all the good things that he had done, the fasting and the tithing and all those things. He just simply begged God for his mercy. And we find that same thing recorded in David's prayer in the 116th Psalm, where David had spoke about how that the sorrows of death compassed him and the pains of hell got hold upon him, and how that he found trouble and sorrow. And then called I upon the name of the Lord, O Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my soul. And David said, gracious is the Lord and righteous, yea, our God is merciful. That was something that he learned about God in that. He learned that God is merciful. And I'm so happy today to be able to tell you, to be able to stand before you today and preach to you about a merciful God, about a God that is willing today to forgive you of your sins, a God that is willing, a God that is long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance, and is willing today to hear your prayer, and is willing today, though you are a sinner, lost and separated from Him, and not worthy of Him, and not deserving anything at all from Him, God is willing to bestow His mercy upon you that you would not have to receive for all eternity what you're actually worthy of. Isn't that great? That God is merciful? But listen, we need to understand this, that God's mercy is now. God's mercy is going to end. And I've said this before recently, and I don't know how you all feel, and I realize that I can't stand before you today according to what the Scriptures tell me. I can't stand before you today and tell you when, but I'll tell you what I believe. I believe God's just about to close those doors. I believe the Lord is just about put up with all that He's going to from this wicked world that we live in. Folks, I believe we're seeing the signs of it. And I just don't believe it'll be long before God will shut those doors of mercy and it's not going to be extended anymore. And I would advise everybody that's lost and in sin to take advantage of the time that you have right now to seek the Lord, because listen, it's not going to make any difference for you what else is going on if the Lord comes, or if you die lost and in your sins, you're going to be cut off from the love and the mercy of God for eternity. You're going to be cut off. We find in the 16th chapter of Luke where Jesus was speaking about the beggar and the rich man, where He was talking about Lazarus and this rich man who fared sumptuously every day, clothed in purple, and had all these fancy things of life. And we have proof in that for those who leave the world unprepared, that there's no mercy anymore. Listen, don't ever let anybody tell you, don't ever let anybody make you believe that once you have left this life, that anybody can pray for you and you'll become okay in eternity. It won't happen. The way you leave here is the way you're going to remain for all of eternity. And so we find in that 16th chapter of Luke how that the Scriptures tell us about this man who had fared sumptuously all the days of his life, every day having all the worldly things that he wanted. But he died and he was buried, and in hell he lifted up his eyes and he found out that there was no access there to God's mercy. There was nothing that he asked for that he was granted. He wanted just enough mercy that the Lord would allow Lazarus to come to him with just water on the tip of his finger and cool his tongue. But he wasn't granted that. He wasn't granted anything that he asked for. Listen, there is no mercy. There's no mercy after this life. That's it. There's nothing. There's no salvation to be obtained after this life. If you're lost and without the Lord, I'm concerned about your soul. I hope that you are concerned about your soul. I hope that you are concerned enough about your soul to cry out from the very depths of your soul to a God that is merciful, to a God that will hear you, to a God that will look down upon you with pity and will extend to you His compassion, will extend to you His loving kindness. This isn't a game, folks. And I'm going to tell you something. Everybody that rejects the Lord's mercy, one day you're going to have to stand before Him for yourself. You're going to have to give an account for yourself before Almighty God. You're going to have to answer to your Creator. You know, listen, God was so good that He gave us the best He had. God was so loving and so kind towards us that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him wouldn't have to perish. Whoever believes in Him wouldn't have to spend an eternity burning, wouldn't have to spend an eternity separated from God, but could be in heaven with the Lord. God is merciful. And your greatest need, if you're lost and without the Lord, your greatest need is His mercy. Listen to what Jesus said, and we're going to have a song. Listen to what the Lord said in that 18th chapter of Luke, in that parable, in reference to the publican that would not so much as lift up his eyes into heaven, but smote upon his breast, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." Jesus said, "I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. Whoever humbles himself will be abased. Whoever exalts himself is going to be humbled." Draw nigh to God. He'll draw nigh to you. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Let's sing.
154.